Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Jim McGovern, when we last spoke, you've talked about, you know, line in the sand. You don't want boots on the ground in foreign countries. We've just agreed to send troops into the Philippines in a big way. Ukraine is coming up every day. It is a lead story in all of the news. And we have Vladimir Putin, who frankly reminds me a little bit of the Chamberlain situation in the 1930s when Hitler was saying, I don't think that they dare come back against me. Is there any of that here?
Look, I mean, one of the things that I think we need to do is kind of all lower the rhetoric a little bit. You know, it is. I think Putin is not a very nice man, and I've been criticizing him for his human rights record against anybody in Russia who disagrees with him. You know, and his tolerance of some incredible examples of corruption in Russia. But on this issue of Ukraine, ultimately, you know, we need to get the focus back on Ukraine, not on Russia versus the U.S. or Russia versus the U.S. in the EU. It ought to be what do the Ukrainian people want? You know, in Crimea, I mean, I think everybody would concede that. You know, a big chunk of that of the people of the Crimea were of Russian descent, who probably felt more aligned with Russia than they did with you know, anyone else. And you know, and now the question is this a power grab? He's going to continue to move on, and we don't know. But I think where we ought to be focusing, and again, is back on, you know, ensuring that the people of Ukraine actually get to determine their own future. And so I think President Obama has actually handled this as well as you can at this point. You know, targeted sanctions that are going after Putin's friends and maybe even after Putin himself, where they'll actually feel it. And, you know, and not getting ahead of the European Union, because quite frankly, you know, if we promise things that we can't deliver, and that is, you know, that if we promise that U.S. and European Union are going to do X and the European Union doesn't do it, then we look... silly, quite frankly. I think, you know, these sanctions will get ratcheted up, but I don't think there's a military solution here. I don't think there's a, you know, those who are kind of rattling the sabers. I mean, I don't, if those who think that somehow there's a military option here, you know, the idea of sending U.S. troops over to what, to battle the Russian army. I mean, we're not going to go there. So. You know, within our toolbox, you know, what can we utilize to actually get Putin to kind of stand down and, you know, to give the Ukrainian people a chance to determine their own future? And I think there is a pathway there. But every time, you know, people in the United States, and I listen to some of these talk shows, and, you know, I mean, I hear John McCain and a few others kind of really, you know, the language is kind of over the top. And this is a very serious situation. I'm not saying it isn't. But you know, I think you make it more difficult to get the other guy, in this case Putin, to do what you want him to do. You know, we need to keep our eye on what matters, and that's what the Ukrainian people want. And I think the president, you know, to his credit, is responding in a measured, I think, in an effective way. And over the long term, I hope it produces the result we all want.
So, Jim McGovern, what happens if, I'm sorry to do this to you, the hypothetical, but what happens if Putin then decides, you know, they're a bunch of weaklings, I'm going to take Moldova, Estonia, and all of Ukraine, then what do we do?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, as he contemplates doing that, I think the sanctions ratchet up more and more and more. Look, the Russians have a lousy economy, and while Putin's numbers are high in terms of popularity within Russia, you know, as people begin to feel the impact of an even worse economy, those numbers will go down. As more and more of Putin's billionaire friends start to lose their fortune, you know, the pressure on Putin is going to be, you know, to back down. You know, I mean, I think one of the challenges that the reality that we're faced with is that, you know, the countries that could have the biggest impact on Russia are within Europe. those are the countries that rely most on Russian oil and Russian energy.
Don't they have to step up? Oh, do we have?
They do have to step up. And the question is, the question is, you know, what are they prepared to do? You know, how far are they willing to go? And I think the president is smart not to try to get out in front of them, because I think it's a stronger message if we're all unified, you know. If this is basically Putin trying to taking over the world, I mean, you're going to see, you know, you're going to see even more pressure on the European Union to respond more strongly.
Yeah, let me go to the cuts in the Pentagon budget. You know, under the Great Compromise, if that's what we call it, the Pentagon is cutting back. Is that wise right now, considering the exigencies?
I believe it is. I believe the Pentagon budget is too big, by any measure. And, you know, and look, there are things that I think are important to our national defense and our national security, and there are things that are not. There's incredible waste and duplication and triplication within the Pentagon. These wars that we're fighting, we need to end. There's savings there, and I would go one step further. I believe that that all these military bases that we have, especially in the Middle East, are counterproductive. Every place I go where you have a big U.S. footprint, the people who live in those countries resent it.
Yeah. True. I'm sorry, Jim, but certainly true in the Philippines. They kicked us out. Now we're welcome back because we can be a foil against China. Should we be there?
Yeah. Every situation is different, but in speaking kind of more generally, I think, you know, a huge U.S. military footprint around the world doesn't guarantee us security necessarily, and in fact, sometimes has the opposite impact. And, you know, whereas troops might be welcomed, you know, initially, you know, when we're there for a while, you know, we're not so welcome. People begin to resent you. Then you become the rallying point for the opposition. I spend a lot of time working on development and food aid initiatives and anti-hunger initiatives and nutritional initiatives, both in the United States and around the world. And you know, and I think I think what would be a better approach, is to try to help work with some of these countries to address issues like hunger, to address issues like disease, extreme poverty. I've seen firsthand when we get that right, you know, the incredible reaction you get from people. I mean, I was the sponsor of the George McGovern Bob Dole International School Feeding Program. I remember going to see a school feeding program in a slum and a displaced persons community in Colombia outside of Bogota. And there was a tent, and there were hundreds and hundreds of kids learning how to read and write and getting fed. This is a U.S. initiative. And a young mother came up to me and the U.S. ambassador. She introduced this to her 11-year-old son. Said, you know, this is my 11-year-old son. Every day in this village, one of the armed actors comes through. One day it's the FARC guerrillas. The next day it's the right-wing paramilitaries. And they asked me, this 11-year-old boy's mother, to give them my son. And in exchange, they will feed him every day, which is something I cannot do. But because of this program, this school feeding program, my son is being fed every day, and he's learning how to read and write, and maybe he'll get out of this slum, and I will forever be grateful to the people of the United States for that. You know, I said to the ambassador, I said, cable that back. That's it. I mean, people, you know, when you do things that actually help people like that, I mean, people like you, and if people like you, they don't want to hurt you. I mean, it's kind of a simplistic way to kind of frame this issue, but it's true. You know, parents are the same whether they're in the United States or whether they're in, you know, Colombia or El Salvador or the Ukraine or wherever. We all love our kids. We all care about security of our kids. We all want opportunities so we can live a good life. That's the same everywhere in the world. And to the extent that we're on the side of creating opportunities, of trying to end extreme poverty, trying to end hunger, that's worth more than all these military bases we have all over the world. So going back to your original point, yes, there are lots of places you can cut the Pentagon that in no way, shape, or form, compromise our security.
Jim McGovern, when we come back the next time, first of all, I want to tell you how much I respect you and your work and your thoughts about the way in which things work. Secondly, I want to say when we come back the next time, I want to come back, as you just indicated, to the way in which we treat the people in the United States, okay?
Right. Okay, good. Great. Thanks.